Chop Sports Network presents Chart Choppers. Welcome to another edition of Chart Choppers on the Chop Sports Network. I am your host, Alan Austin, and today we've got a very special guest, another member of the Chop Sports family. We had Matt Ibanez on last week, and this week we have his partner until Mets do us part, John Saponaro. You know him as a stand-up comic, an actor. You may recognize his voice from some voiceover work. And of course, his two podcasts here on the network. John, thank you for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure to be here. I appreciate that very much. After Ibby did the show last week, he was telling me how much fun he had. So I'm looking forward to getting into some stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. And why don't you take a moment here to tell the folks about the podcasts you have on the network before we get started, because one of them is very relevant to our discussion today.
That's true. And both of them are very relevant to my complete pain and failure as a human being. That is because I co-host alongside Matt Ibanez the Till Mets Do Us Part podcast. And then I also co-host alongside Kimberly Cantoni, former flight crew cheerleader and host personality herself, the goddamn Jets. And so I know how to pick them. Let's just put it that way. I am a lifelong Jets fan, lifelong Mets fan. They are the two teams that I care the most about, and they have done nothing but hurt me my whole life. So,
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. So in football, I'm a Giants fan. Worse off than the Jets are right now, in my opinion. And in baseball, I'm a Detroit Tigers fan, but I like the Mets second. So I'm always rooting for the Mets. I'm pulling for that Tigers-Mets World Series at some point in my lifetime. But today, we are going to go over the top 10 New York Jets building blocks. So a couple caveats. I will give my list, and then after each number, why don't you tell me how you feel about that and if they made your list? That way we're not just going 10, 10, 9, 9, 8, 8, 7, 7, blah, blah, blah. So My caveats were people that I think could realistically be on the team for the near future. I took Marcus May is not on my list. He might have just torn his Achilles or some leg injury, and he's going to be out for the year. And prior to that, they had been talking about trading, and it's all I ever heard about Marcus May, more so than his play on the field, was his tradability. So is that okay with you?
That works for me. And just in the interest of disclosure, Marcus May not on my list for similar reasons, if not identical reasons.
Okay, awesome. We'll get to some honorable mentions later. So let's kick it off. And number 10 is a player that I really only learned about by doing research for this show. Couple Jet fans I spoke with speak very highly of him, Brandon Breezy Eccles, the cornerback. Now, there were a couple cornerbacks that I could have chosen. This is the only cornerback on the list. The others will be honorable mentions later on. But from what I've been told, he is the one that stands out from the rest, at least early on. He is a rookie, sixth rounder, cornerback. So that's my number 10. How do you feel about Brandon Eccles?
I like Brandon Eccles. I like the entire cornerback group that the Jets have. You know, obviously this podcast would have been a little different if we recorded yesterday before the Jets allowed over 500 yards of total offense to the Colts. I think I was about to just scrap this list and just be like, yeah, you know what, whatever you pick, let's just all agree. And then we can just move on with our lives. No, I like the entire group of cornerbacks. A lot of people had a lot to say about when the Jets let go of Bless Austin, who was okay in the offseason. He was the most seasoned, most veteran guy. And it was funny to me because we talked about it a lot on the goddamn Jets. It was like, look, the Jets either have good corners or they don't. And everybody was like, the Jets don't have any good corners, but how could they let this guy go? I'm like, well, I don't think he's that good. Probably. I think all the younger guys have a lot of upside, and, you know, I trust Robert Saleh and the defensive coordinator to kind of make those decisions. And so Eccles fits the bill for me. So does Michael Carter II, who's another guy they drafted this year. But both of those guys made my honorable mentions list. So Eccles is not in a top 10 for me.
Yes. And there's another one in that group that we'll talk about in a bit. And, you know, I think with sports fans, a lot of the time they complain. Then a guy gets traded. And even if they hated him, it's like, oh, he was the best thing since sliced bread. What are we doing? And it's very, very silly, if you ask me. Number nine, you mentioned his namesake, Michael Carter, the running back at number nine. And the reason I don't have him higher is because he's very green, literally, uniform and skill-wise. But for a lower draft pick running back, you know, those are sometimes the steal of the draft. You look at some in the past, you even look at recently when Philip Lindsay had his run, he was undrafted. So running backs can be found in the later rounds. Don't tell Dave Gettleman. But Michael Carter has had a very brief, you know, run here. 328 yards leads the team, but it's the last couple weeks especially that he kind of looks like he's settling into his career a little bit more.
Yeah, I totally agree. So Michael Carter is on my list. He's actually a bit higher than you had him. I've got him at seven. And the only reason why he's not higher than that is because he's a running back. And right. Let's just be honest about, you know, I mean, you've already alluded to, you can find running backs late. You can de-emphasize running backs to a degree. If the system is good, if the offensive line is good, there are ways to make running backs look better, play better, be better, blah, blah, blah. But I thought that the Jets got great positional value for Michael Carter when they drafted him. I thought he was a stud coming out of college. And I think he is slowly but surely coming into his own. You've seen it over the last 3 or 4 weeks, specifically in that Bengals game. I mean, it was the Mike White coming out party, but it was also the Michael Carter coming out party. And he had 172 yards of total offense, you know, yards from scrimmage. And it was running backs with those kind of numbers since 2020. Alvin Kamara, another late round draft pick, and Michael Carter, and that's it. And I'm not saying he's going to become Alvin Kamara, but I think that the Jets got great value for where they drafted him, and I think he is the running back of the future for sure.
I agree, and I have I also have the same trepidations about running backs, only because they're so fragile also. So you hate to think, here's a building block when theoretically it's going to be a 3 to 4 year span, hopefully longer, but realistically, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you also need 3 to 4 guys sometimes, right? You know, I mean, I like Ty Johnson, unheralded guy on the Jets. Excuse me. He didn't make my list. He's way down. I think he's a movable, interchangeable part, but then they have a guy like Tevin Coleman who knows their offense and he's a little bit older, but you need 3-4 guys on every right. team now, even if you have a stud running back, because they do get hurt. They miss some time and you want to have people that can fill in. I mean, you don't want to base your entire offense. Look where the Titans are now that Derrick Henry's out for the year. Look what happened to Carolina. Everybody was like, oh my God, Sam Darnold, look how good he is. It's like, well, yeah, look how good he is now without Christian McCaffrey. So right. if you base your entire offense on one player and that player is a running back, I think you're making a mistake.
Yeah, you mentioned Darnold. Are you one of those Jet fans that's rooting for him, or are you indifferent towards his existence now that he's gone?
I am entirely indifferent to Sam Darnold in every way, shape, or form. I don't root for guys after they leave the team. It's not to say that I never have. You know, there are certain things. You know, I thought the Jets made a big mistake with Darrell Revis, letting Darrell Revis go and trading him for what they traded him for. And that was just a total disaster. Woody Johnson not wanting to pay the guy who was far and away the best player on the team, blah, 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 blah. I rooted for Revis. But also the caveat is, Revis, along with Mangold and Bart Scott, are probably my three favorite Jets of all time, personally. So, you know, that's a little different. If Mangold left and went somewhere and had the chance to get a ring and didn't retire with the Jets, I probably would have rooted for him to get a ring, stuff like that. But with Darnold, you know, I think the Jets hurt him more than he hurt himself. But I think that Darnold did plenty of things here that, you know, people are like, oh man, wait till he gets somewhere else. Ah, I don't know about that. I think that Darnold, I saw a lot of problems with Darnold in the 4 years he was here.
I believe it. Yes. Okay. Number eight is going to be a little bit of a head scratcher for some out there. How could you put him on? Blah, blah, blah. But when you have a guy in your system now, like Carl Lawson, you can't help but think once he's back on the field, he's going to be a major player on that defense. He would be higher if he was active and playing. I also like that he was really hyping the team up in the offseason. You know, people can roll their eyes and groan at a player on a projected to be bad team rooting for himself. And I have no problem with it. And I like that. I mean, realistic is cool, but you don't want to hear your defense say, yeah, it's going to be a long year. I thought he was going to be a great leader for them. And, you know, 20 career sacks. I think when he gets back, he will be a difference maker.
Carl Lawson is absolutely on my list. He is higher because he's not playing, actually, because I think that's how important he would have been to this team. So I have Carl Lawson at number 4 behind 3 very obvious, in my opinion, very obvious choices of the most important players going forward for the Jets. That's kind of what I looked at it as positionally, but also the if these guys don't pan out, how bad the Jets could be, you know, how what dire straits they could be in. So for me, Carl Lawson is just outside of the top three. I think his loss is already felt. Obviously, the defense has played well in spots, but overall, they're allowing 30 some odd points a game, which is not good. Not what I expected from a Robert Saleh, Jeff Ulbrich defense. And I think they'd be doing better if they could get more pass rush from a guy like Carl Lawson. He's exactly what they needed in the offseason. He was exactly who they needed to sign, and he's exactly what they're missing now. So yeah. I think that speaks volumes to how important he is.
I agree. And at number seven, I'm going to stick with linebackers, and I'm going to throw CJ Mosley on there. He's only higher than Lawson because he is playing. Now, the one caveat I'll throw is he's a veteran. You know, he's been around a little bit, and linebackers do not have the longest shelf life. They can, you know, guys who really protect themselves and know how to tackle and know how to hit, which he may be one of them, but he's been a real difference maker for them already. Team leading tackler, 65 total. And again, not higher because he's already a veteran, and not lower than Lawson because Lawson hasn't played. That's just my rationale.
Yeah, that's fair. CJ Mosley's on my list for a lot of the same reasons. He's at number nine for me. Doesn't come in higher because he's a veteran, because he's a bit older, and he's the kind of player that, because of his age, because of the tread on his tires, you could see the Jets moving on from in a year or two.
Right.
I think after next season, he has a very low cap hit if they were to cut him. And if the Jets are bad, or if he regresses, you know, that's something that I could see happening. And so that's why he kind of loses the term building block just a little bit. But if you look at what CJ Mosley did when they first signed him away from the Ravens, I mean, he was all over the place for three quarters of that Bills game. He got hurt, and then the defense never recovered, literally never in that game. And for the rest of the season, it was like losing a quarterback out there. And then last year he opts out because of COVID. I mean, last year, nothing was going to help that team. They were historically bad in every way, shape, or form, but CJ Mosley would have made a difference. The guy is a tackling machine. The guy is the quarterback of the defense. And so for me, just based on the personnel that they have on the team right now, yeah, CJ Mosley's got to be on the list.
Got to be on the list. And I think, you know, when building blocks can be defined as, you know, years to come, but it also could be a guy who instills veteran leadership and insight to guys that are going to go forward. So that's one way to look at it. Now, number six is another position where the players are a dime a dozen, but the good ones stand out. Elijah Moore. We finally saw some last night. This is a guy who takes the mantle that I think most Jets were hoping Denzel Mims would take last year, the second round wide receiver. But yesterday was, or when we recorded, so when this drops, it'll be Wednesday of next week. We're recording it the day after the Colts Jets game. Yesterday was his coming out party. Two touchdowns, finally looked like, you know, he was handling the offense. Of course, he loses Mike White, but he does take one of the touchdowns was by Mike White. Spoiler alert, Mike White will not be on this list, and we can get into him later. But so Elijah Moore, if he can stick around and be that explosive wide receiver, which would help open up the offense, he's got to be on this list.
Elijah Moore's on my list as well. He comes in at number eight for me. Just because he's a wide receiver and the Jets now have a fairly decent complement of wide receivers, I would like to see Elijah Moore be probably long-term the best of all of them. Elijah Moore reminds me of Steve Smith in terms of a guy who, yes, he plays in the slot. Yes, he can do a lot of what slot receivers do, but he has game-breaking speed. He has very good hands, and I think he can also move around later in his career. I think he can play on the outside, play on the inside. And so, you know, look, if he's Steve Smith, I will literally sing from the rooftops. So if he becomes that kind of player, I'll be happy about it. But I do think he has more upside than Mims. He certainly has more organizational trust than Mims, who I like. Mims made my honorable mention list. I'm just going to mention that now. I think they need to kind of set Mims free a little bit. I know he had a big drop in that Colts game, but also, I mean, you know, they were inexcusably bad on offense for the first 3 weeks and he couldn't see the field, and that didn't make sense to me. Another receiver that made the honorable mention list for me is Corey Davis. Mm-hmm. I know he's a little bit older, but not really, 26. They signed him to be their wide receiver receiver one. He's been largely good for them. And the last couple of weeks that he hasn't played, I think they've missed his presence overall, even though the offense has been good the last 2 weeks. So he's another honorable mention for me. I just think in terms of longevity, upside, skill set, Elijah Moore, for me, is the only wide receiver that made the top 10 list.
Same here. And I love Corey Davis. I'm a huge Corey Davis guy. I loved him coming out of college. I had him on my fantasy team last year when he broke out with the Titans. Great signing by the Jets. And like you said, it looked like he was picking up where he left off last season. So honorable mention, Corey Davis. Number five, John Franklin Myers. Been very impressed. And one of the reasons he's at number five is because they literally just locked him up. So he will be a building block for years to come, a four-year, $55 million extension for the defensive tackle. So that defensive front for the Jets has been bulked up recently. Four sacks this season, one forced fumble, 2018 draft pick of the Rams. How do you feel about John Franklin Myers?
So I love John Franklin Myers. Absolutely love him. I think he's the kind of guy that is so easy to root for. But he did not make my top 10 list. Simply because it just came down to a numbers game. It's a top 10 list. And I've got some other, I mentioned Carl Lawson is on here pretty high. I've got another defensive lineman up here high. And I thought about putting Jonathan Franklin Myers on there. I was like, well, you know what? Lawson's hurt. I might put him in that spot. There's somebody who we haven't mentioned yet, or you kind of alluded to, that I snuck onto this list. So I did debate John Franklin Myers, but I ultimately decided to leave him off just because I already had two other D linemen on, and that's basically it. But as a player, I love John Franklin Myers. I'm happy that they signed him, and I'm happy that he's going to be a building block for this team 100%.
Awesome. Before we get to our top four, we've got to cut out for a quick break. So the top four and honorable mentions when we get back.
What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out flippingmadeeasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to flippingmadeeasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's flippingmadeeasy.com.
All right, we are back. Top 10 New York Jet building blocks. We are getting to number four. And at number four, I have who is undoubtedly playing the best football in the league, top five offensive lineman for a rookie, Elijah Vera Tucker. What a debut he's had so far.
Absolutely. AVT is, man, when they traded up to get him, I thought it was savvy. I thought it was exactly what they needed to do, especially after getting Becton the year before. I think when you have two young pieces like that on the left side of your line, you can have them there hopefully for a decade, 10, 11, 12 years, maybe, depending if they can stay healthy. And, it's similar. I know Mangold was a center, but it just shades of Mangold and DeBrickashaw. I mean, they got them in the same draft and they were each here for 9 and 10 years respectively. And what they were able to do with, and the two of them barely ever missed games. I mean, DeBrickashaw never missed a game and Mangold played, I think 95% of the time. So when you look at that, they were able to supplement those guys with guys like Damian Woody, bringing in other people that were a little bit older, but still had some game left in them. And it allowed them to have really good, really strong, really stout offensive lines where, the sum was great, or the total was greater than the sum of its parts. So I think that that's what you can kind of look for with AVT and with Becton. AVT is number three on my list.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. I mean, in week five, he was Pro Football Focus's top rated offensive lineman. So for a rookie, that's pretty darn impressive. Number three, you just mentioned him. I usually do the honorable mentions before the top three, but it's a great segue. Mekhi Becton's number three for me. And the reason he's higher than Vera Tucker is because he's at a tougher position. So his play will be a little bit more important against those ruthless defensive ends in the league. And once he gets back on the field, I know Jet fans are very high on him. So maybe you can lend some insight on what you've seen out of Mekhi Becton after 1 year.
Well, here you go. Mekhi Becton is number two for me. Mm-hmm. So we're, excuse me, where our thought processes are aligned for sure in terms of AVT versus Becton, if you will. Becton, I think, has to go a bit higher because he plays the left tackle position, like you said. I absolutely love Mekhi Becton. I love the pick when they got him. I thought he was the best offensive lineman in the class. I think he basically showed you that in his rookie year. Now, I know he was banged up a little bit, and that scares me. And that scares a lot of Jets fans, and it should, because, you know, you're looking at this guy who is a freak athlete. I mean, the things he does at the size that he is incredible. He's got quick hands, he's got quick feet, and he's a massive wall of a person. He's like the largest person I've ever seen. There's a lot of jokes, you know, going back to training camp of him standing alongside Zach Wilson. And it's just like, you know, Zach Wilson looks like a kindergartner standing next to Mekhi Becton. So I love it. The only fear that I have is if he's going to have trouble staying healthy, because, you know, if he's not on the field, he's not going to be a building block. So, but that said, the skill set is there. The intangibles are there. The desire to win is there. The desire to get better is there. So I think Mekhi Becton is, I have him at two. You could easily put Mekhi Becton at one. I think that's how important, you know, a left tackle is in the league, especially a young one that you hope will be here for a decade.
Absolutely. In my opinion, it's one of the most underappreciated positions in all of professional sports to the casual fan. They do not understand how important the blindside tackle is for a quarterback and for a offensive line. Okay, honorable mentions. Bryce Hall is the one cornerback that I left off my list. He was actually a pretty highly regarded draft pick before the season started, the year he was drafted. Then he fell in a lot of people's favor. He fell out of favor with a lot of people, wound up going to the Jets late, and he could blossom. There is a high ceiling there. I believe he gets an honorable mention. We mentioned Corey Davis, who I love, gets an honorable mention. And that's the, you know, I guess you could say Marcus May is technically an honorable mention until further notice, but those are the guys that stood out to me, along with Denzel Mims, who you mentioned prior.
Okay. I don't disagree with you on any of those. Bryce Hall made my list. He made my top 10 list. He's the corner that I chose to go with. So I have Bryce Hall at number five. And again, I'm just going by positional value here. So if you think about it, I've got Mekhi Becton at two, taking into account the fact that he's a left tackle for everything that you just mentioned. The casual fan kind of misses that. Right behind him is Elijah Vera Tucker, because he's also playing on the left side of that line. Right behind him, Carl Lawson, pass rush, defensive end, defense, defense, defense. And what do you need after that? You need a lockdown cornerback. So number five, Bryce Hall. And I think that's what Bryce Hall can be. He got hurt coming out of college, like you said, so that dropped his draft stock a little bit, and he fell to the Jets, and he's been really good. There's been times, and I don't mean this in a slanderous way, there's been times he's been Revis-esque. Now, I don't know if anybody will ever be Revis again, but, I mean, he's been that good in some ways, in some parts of his game, and I think Bryce Hall, we have still not seen the best of Bryce Hall, and, he's, for me, he's the top guy.
Yeah, a lot top of good cornerback choices. I could see it. And with that pedigree he has, like you mentioned, there's no reason to think he won't be. Number two and number one are obvious, but at number two, I'm going to go with Quinnen Williams.
Okay.
He's finally, you know, he made a play in the Colt game where I think it was Jonathan Taylor or it was Nyheim Hines, where he tripped them up from the back on a dive. And I was like, that's the play. That's what, you know, what he brings to the table. Not only is he stuffing the run up the middle, but he's chasing guys down who go out to the flat. I think he is a number three overall pick. So to think that he is not a cornerstone for this franchise for the next 4 to 5 years, if they can re-sign him, if he doesn't want to walk, he's got to be on this list. He is an elite talent, blue chip prospect.
absolutely 100% true. Of course, Quinnen Williams is on my list. Quinnen Williams is a little lower on my list, so I've got him at 6. And the only reason why is because, again, I'm just going by positional value here and not necessarily talent of the player, and I kind of worked my way back. So just to reiterate, 2 was Becton, 3 was AVT, 4 was Carl Lawson, 5 was Bryce Hall, 6 is Quinnen Williams because he plays on the defensive interior. Now, obviously, that's a disrupting position. You can get sacks from that spot, and he has. You can be all over the place. You're expected to be in a lot of ways, and he does that, especially after a so-so rookie year. Quinnen Williams has really, he came along a lot last year, and now here in year 3, he looks excellent out there. And so for me, the number 6 does not have anything to do with his ability, because in terms of his ability, he could be 1 or 2 for sure. It's just the positions, and I was just trying to rank them in terms of importance there rather than quality of player on the field.
Right. There's no right or wrong answer to what we're doing. We both have a similar group of players. I think there was a lot of heat on him by Jet fans who wanted instant gratification by his draft, by drafting him, and a little unfair, the treatment I thought of him. The NFL is tough. Nobody can just walk right in, and the few that can are just like outer worldly. So the guy has settled in nicely, and number 1 has to be Zach Wilson. Quarterbacks run the league, and this is a guy you just put all your hope into. Drafted him number 2 overall when there are other comparable quarterbacks who other people were wanting. They made their decision on Wilson early, it seemed, in the draft process, and he's the guy. And he's had a rough start, but it is the NFL. Many cases of stud quarterbacks flailing at first. The Mike White thing is not even an honorable mention because Zach Wilson's the guy. Zach Wilson is the guy who has to be the major number 1 building block for this organization going forward. And I'm interested to see hear what you've thought of him so far.
So oddly enough, Zach Wilson didn't make my list.
No, okay.
Zach Wilson is number 1 on my list, of course, right alongside with you. You said that we have similar lists. We actually, the only thing that has been different is the numbers of where guys fall. We've been almost 100% one for one in terms of players. And for everybody listening, we did not talk about this ahead of time. You didn't see my list. I didn't see your list. We're different on one player, and I'll kind of encompass it all together. I love Zach Wilson. I loved his talent coming out. Obviously, it was tank for Trevor. Everybody wanted Trevor Lawrence. I'd be lying to you if I told you I didn't want Trevor Lawrence. I'd be lying to you if I told you that when the Jets beat the Rams, I wasn't livid, right? The Jets had nothing to play for, and I'm like, this team can't even tank, right? You know, Adam Gase can't give us anything. And the Jets go on, they wind up winning 2 games, and they fall just short of, you know, the number 1 overall pick, where in most other years, they probably would have had the number 1 overall pick, but Jacksonville was so bad. But you know what? The Jets were just as bad. The Jets had no right to win either of those games that they won. To me, that was the worst Jets team I have ever watched start to finish. Now, obviously, I was alive during the Kotite year, but I was a lot younger. You know what I mean? I was 10 years old, basically. And so, you know, you don't live and die by it. Do I remember some of it? I do. I remember watching it, sure. But you don't live and die by it the way that you do now. I'm 35 years old. And, you know, I have an understanding of sports and football so much more than I did then. But I like Zach Wilson. I like his ability. I like his upside. He hasn't shown a lot, but a lot of these rookie quarterbacks so far haven't shown a lot, including Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has been disappointing. Justin Fields has been disappointing, who a lot of Jet fans wanted instead of Zach Wilson. The only one that's been okay has really been Mac Jones. And Mac Jones went to the Patriots. He went to Belichick, and he's being exactly what we thought Mac Jones could be, which is a game manager. And I'm not saying that as a knock. Look, Mac Jones, he'll probably become the next Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick will live forever because he's a vampire. And, you know, that's just what's going to happen. But, you know, there's also a chance. Everybody said Mac Jones was going to the right team at the right time. And they had him, you know, kind of earmarked, look, if anybody can succeed in any system, he's the most pro ready guy. He's probably the closest to his ceiling already in terms of what he can do, but Belichick will get the most out of it. And that's what we're seeing before our very eyes here week in and week out with the Patriots. So I'm happy that the Jets went with Zach Wilson. To me, I wanted him more than Fields. Fields was a close second for me, knowing that we weren't going to get Trevor Lawrence, but you know, Zach Wilson needs to show more. And my only hedge on this entire list, and the reason why I left off Jonathan Franklin Myers, is because at number 10 on my list, I put Mike White. Now, I know that might sound crazy, and it's not off of the one game. It's just off of the fact that Mike White has been in the league for 3 years. Nobody's really had the opportunity to see Mike White up until we saw him last week. And what did he do? He came out and he set the world on fire, rookie records against a really good Bengals team, good on offense, good on defense. And Mike White makes $850,000 this year. He's a restricted free agent. And especially now that he's banged up and if Wilson comes back, there's a chance if Mike White doesn't play that much this season, the Jets can bring him back. The Jets can afford to carry both of these guys and decide in a year from now. This quarterback controversy that the media was trying to make after Mike White's coming out party against the Bengals, I think is a question that at the very least doesn't have to be answered till the end of this season. But I think if things break right for the Jets, could be answered at the end of next season, potentially. He's only 26 years old. He has barely played and he's shown a lot of poise. He definitely has the arm talent to be here. And so he's a good hedge for the Jets. And for me on this list against Zach Wilson, potentially not realizing his potential. I still think that it's Zach Wilson's show. I still think Zach Wilson will ultimately be the guy. And I think Mike White will probably turn back into a pumpkin. But right now, I think it's actually a good problem for the Jets to have.
Yes, it is. And it's a shame he went down in the Colts game because I watched the game for him. You know, mm-hmm. I bought into the hype of the Jets last week and watched hoping Mike White would come out and do something. And the moment you saw him holding his, you know, limp hand and wrist, you were like, oh, goodness, here we go. Yeah. But that being said, even if he plays well, there's going to be a team out there who offers him that Jimmy G or Matt Castle, Mike Glennon contract of a guy who suddenly played well in a limited span and gets a big overpriced deal. I could see that happening as well. It's been one game and 10 minutes. So I don't want to truly jump the gun, but he was doing stuff at the line in a game and a quarter that Trevor Lawrence isn't even doing yet. Trevor Lawrence is still clap counting. And, you know, Mike White was trying to draw people off sides verbally. Like, it was just good stuff, a lot to like. But the Jets in total, they are a franchise on the up and up. It's got to be exciting if you're a Jet fan after the Adam Gase years, which were a disaster, to see a new coach, a new system, a new group of guys, along with some who were left over, just start to rise up and become a squad, an organization that can challenge for a playoff spot in the near future. It's got to be exciting.
It is exciting. You know, this year has been kind of frustrating, especially, again, like you mentioned, we're recording this the day after, the morning after the Colts game, which did not go well for the Jets, but it's nice to see some hope. It's nice to see some upside. And there's a lot of Jet fans on Twitter that comment on our podcast and people who chime in that are like, it's the same old Jets. You know, they're allowing 500 yards of offense and 45 points and 50 points. And where's the defense? And why isn't Robert Saleh better? And, you know, I try to tell my fellow Jet fan all the time that you have to be patient. And I understand that patience is hard because the Jets right now are sitting with the longest playoff drought in the NFL, active streak. You know, it's been over a decade and it's probably going to continue. I don't see them making the playoffs this year. I thought maybe they had an outside chance if they were to carry the momentum from the Bengals game into this Colts game, if they win this, if they would have won the Colts game, go into the Bills game, you know, playing well, two wins in a row. I don't think they beat the Bills, but maybe they play competitive against them. And then suddenly you're looking at a lot of winnable games in a row, two with the Dolphins, one against Houston, one against Jacksonville, and one against the New Orleans Saints, who just lost Jameis Winston to an ACL. And you're going to either play old friend Trevor Siemian, or you're going to see, what's his name? The all purpose dude back there.
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill. Thank you. You know, and I think that that's a beatable team. So, And that's still all true. But, you know, I think the Jets have now kind of hurt themselves with some of the close games that they've lost or winnable games that they've lost, namely the Falcons, the Colts, and whatever, the list goes on. But I am happy with the overall direction of this team. I think that there are some things they need to clean up. But what I think some Jet fans need to realize is that this is statistically the youngest team in the NFL. And with that, you're going to have a lot of stinkers along the way. You're going to have growing pains. I mean, I know you want Zach Wilson to come out the gate and be a stud, but we talked about it. I know it's a different position. Look at Quinnen Williams. It took Quinnen Williams basically two full years to realize his full potential. He was pretty up and down, almost bad in year one. He was much better in year two. And now here he is year three. He's a stud. You know, you look at AVT, people were calling him a bust after two games because Elijah Vera Tucker didn't have two, like he didn't grade out well in the first two games of the season. Well, now look at him. Like you said, highest graded offensive lineman a couple weeks back. You know, I mean, this is a rookie and this is all offensive linemen. So, you know, the Jets have building blocks in place as evidenced by this list. And I know it's hard because it sucks. It sucks to be on the outside looking in, especially because football careers are fleeting and you never know what you have. You think you have a team. You're like, oh, this team will be together for 5 years. Boom. This guy gets hurt. This guy all of a sudden loses his ability. Next thing you know, your team is terrible again. So you never want to give up seasons in the NFL. But right now, the Jets are just building towards something. I think that they're close. I think that it's going to be frustrating. But Jet fans, you have to have patience.
I thought the Colts were a great opponent for them this week. And like you said, how can we come off that other game? And I think if Mike White stays in the game, it's a different story here today. John, thank you so much for jumping on the show. Top 10 New York Jets building blocks. Why don't you tell the folks at home where they can find you on social media and how to keep track of your career?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. This is a fun thing to talk about. And I'm happy that our lists kind of coincided so much the way that they did. Would have been weird if we're like, I didn't have that guy. He's like a third string, you know.
Well, as the non
special teams.
Yeah, as the non-Jet fan, I needed to do research or else I would have come in here like number one, Mark Sanchez. And everyone would be like, oh, this guy is not paying attention.
Where's Braxton Berrios on your list? People can find me across all the social platforms. I'm on Twitter and Instagram mostly, at John Saponaro. So it's just JohnSaponaro. So just my name. I know it's a little difficult to spell sometimes, but that's where you can find me. And then as far as the shows go, you can follow us on social platforms at Till Mets Do Us Part. And at the_goddamn_Jets. So those are the two shows that I do here on the Chop Sports Network. I'm also doing a ton of other stuff, and to keep abreast of what I'm doing, just follow me on social media. It's the best way, or my website, johnsaponaro.com.
Awesome. John, thank you so much. And as for the top 10 New York Jets building blocks, that's that. Chop Sports Network presents Chart Choppers.